Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. I know, that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know, that life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. From Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, that was dead and is alive, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty. But thou art rich, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's give thanks for these words. And pray that they will have an application to us today. It is only one of the two churches that did not have to be called to repentance. Certainly are an example for us that's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, He who is on Thy right hand, even the right hand of majesty, after having finished His work here on earth, having lived and died and rose again, and then ascended up to heaven to be with thee, and from then building the church, making his enemies his footstool, returning to that place that he had, as the psalmist could say, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We pray that each one of us who are enemies by nature and who have enmity against thee and who hate the light and love darkness rather than light may be changed from enmity, changed into loving thee, having a new beginning, created in Christ Jesus under good works that cannot be done without love. We can do many things, but if there's not love, there is nothing. Thou hast said, though we give the body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth nothing. Also, we can speak the truth and have not love, but tinkling cymbals and sounding brass. Help us to see that today, as we speak of thy word, how we need thy spirit, how we need the spirit of Christ to give us love. As thou hast said, Lord Jesus, without thee we can do nothing, and we know that we have no beginning of love except we have it from thee. Thou, Father, art love. Thou hast loved the world and given thy Son, and we pray that we might see that as the beginning of love in us when we believe in thy Son, and then are no longer perishing in our lost, hopeless condition, our evil condition. And we pray for forgiveness, that we might have that blessing, and therefore, being justified by faith, have peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might have these things first, and seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things will be added. We also give thanks for the many things that thou hast given us, so many more blessings in nature, and so many more blessings as a nation than many others, and we give thee thanks for it. But we pray that we may not be at ease in Zion because of it, and we may not be any way proud that these things are ours, because thou hast given them to us, and they are alone from thee, because of Christ. We pray now in his name that thou would give reviving in the church, in the home, in the schools, to government. We need it so much in our nation, and we need to be brought back to that way of love, and we need to be brought back to the way of having love to thee and loving to our neighbor in the church, in the home, and throughout the nation, especially in government. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is heard, and we pray also that thou wilt call more laborers to go into all the fields that are still white of the harvest where the laborers are few, both in our nation and throughout the world. We pray for the temporal needs of the sick, of the hungry, of the homeless, the persecuted, all these calamities that are there, the injured ones, the many thousand injured in the earthquakes, in the wars. We pray for them and for thy mercy on them. We ask, Father, for thy guidance now in this word, that it may be to the upbuilding of thy kingdom and to the good of our souls for the present and for the future. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at that letter to the second church here, the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things saith, the first and the last, that was dead and is alive. That comes from Christ. Christ introduced himself in the first chapter. We can read of his word to John in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. We can read there once again, as the song told us, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. Job knew that, and he penned those words. This song is evidently taken from the words that Job spoke. We know that Christ did die, and we know he rose again. He died for our sin, and he rose for our justification. Here he introduces himself in that way. Again, verse 8 of chapter 2. These things saith the first and the last. In the 8th verse of the first chapter, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first and the last of the Greek alphabet. He repeats the same thing in the following words, the beginning and the end. And then again, much the same as we can read later in the scripture in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read here in the last part of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, and that is true. He is the Lord Jesus from before the foundation of the world with the Father in the Father's love. He was the first. He is also the Almighty. He is the Creator. He is the standard of the world. There is nothing too hard for the Father, nothing too hard for the Son. As Jeremiah states it, nothing too hard for thee. We can give thanks. That is true. There have even been evangelists who have stated that God is powerless unless you let him. That is far, far from the truth. He is not powerless. He has the power in creation. He has the power in the natural things. Upholds all things by the word of his power. And at the end of the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We give thanks. There's a power in his grace. Sometimes we call irresistible grace. It cannot be resisted by the sinner. He can give us the new birth. He can give us conviction of sin. And he is the one, as Peter stated, gives repentance and remission of sins, both. He can bring us to repentance. And thankfully, that's our only hope, my only hope, that he did that in me and with me and for me, working it in me. And all we can do is work it out, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is not by the will of man or by anything that we do in ourselves. We have no beginning of spiritual things. We have no beginning of right things until we're born again by the Spirit of God. That is the new beginning. And as Christ said to Nicodemus and all of us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That comes from the one who is stating here, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He is alive today in the right hand of God, and he is back there where he was long, long before. When we read in Psalm 110, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. And I was that. I was an enemy. And he made me his footstool. And he made me know that if he didn't change me and save me, I would go to hell. That would be my loving darkness rather than light, and go to the darkness of an eternal abyss. That would be the end of my choice. But he had a different choice, and he chooses us to himself. Sometimes we call it choosing, sometimes we call it election, sometimes we call it predestination, but it's all from him first. He is the first and the last in the way of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith, as well as the object of it. He was dead and is alive forevermore. He is one that has conquered death. He is the one that is there on the right hand of God, speaking now to John and telling him to write to this church at Smyrna, and the letter is also to us. It was recorded as part of the Holy Scripture. He can say to us as well as it did to that church. Sadly, he may not be able to describe us like this church at Smyrna that did not have to be called to repentance. We are probably more like the previous church when he said to them, as we saw in the last message, chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Our forefathers came here to this country in love to God, and because they had love to God and wanted to worship him in the way they believed they should, they left Europe, they left England, and came to this country so they could fully and freely show that love to God after they were here at lesson, and a lesson for a number of years till we had awakening and revival. About 100 years after the first settlers came, then the time of Jonathan Edwards, in the 1720s, the 1730s, there was what we call the Great Awakening. At that time, the Spirit was given, and there was conviction of sin. There was salvation manifested, and as Jonathan Edwards said, the town was never so full of love as it was then. Love was renewed in the Great Awakening, and that's what we need today. We need another awakening to our sin. We need awakening to our lack of love, as this church here at Ephesus was reproved, and we need that. And so let's not forget the lesson from the church at Ephesus. We are probably more like them today than we are like the church at Smyrna. But still there's a lesson there as part of Scripture And we could probably see them as an example that we should be like them and not continue like the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was told, except you repent, I will remove the candlestick. We are in danger of that. If we do not repent of our lack of love, we are in danger of grieving the Spirit even more. We are in a terrible way in our country. We are in a way like these Ephesians, lack of love. We are in a terrible way because we are not acknowledging God as our Creator. We have foolishly substituted the theory of evolution, which is a theory of death, a theory of lies and foolishness. We also are terribly guilty with murdering the unborn. So we are in a nation not with love, but with pride and with foolishness and wickedness. We must come back to our Creator and acknowledge Him as that. Back to God as our Creator, not the theory of evolution. And then we can go on trying to be more like this church at Smyrna. When Christ says to them, verse 9 of chapter 2, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He said they were in tribulation. They did suffer some persecution. We can read that there would be persecution more in a later time as well. He said, if you go on to, for a moment to the 10th verse, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee life. And so already there were those who were suffering, who had the blasphemy of others that say they are Jews and are not. And we have to see the difference between those who are truly Jews or truly those with the faith of Abraham, which could be called Jews. We can see it in Christ's words to his audience, recorded in John chapter 8. To those that he was preaching to, he had told them earlier, if they would continue in his word, they would know the truth and be set free. But they said they were not in bondage, but they were in bondage. Bondage of the lie. Christ said to them, chapter 8, verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And then in solemn words, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar, and the father of it. They claimed to be children of God. They claimed they were children of Abraham, and one with Abraham. But Christ said to them, you seek to kill me. And we know that throughout the life of Christ, they wanted to kill him. And even this same group here, in John chapter 8, we can read at the end of the chapter that they took up stones to stone him. And so we have to see those things as they are. And they can say they are Jews, it or not. And that's what we read here. Also, we can read in Romans chapter 2 these words. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And we have to see that we have a right relationship with God, not of men. Many people are satisfied with being in the church. We have many different names today. We have Calvinists, we have Arminians, we have Lutherans, we have Wesleyans, all following the ways of a man and the ways of a certain group. Protestants and Catholics, two different groups. They are not what we might call Jews inwardly. It is only a form of godliness. Oft times denying the power thereof, not knowing salvation by grace alone and by God's power. And that's what we must have. We must have that power of Christ, the risen Savior, in us. He must be the one to bring us to the new birth. He's the one that must teach us, as Peter stated and Luke wrote in Acts chapter 3, where he quotes God telling Moses that a prophet like unto him he would raise up, him you must hear in all things. And then he gives us the wonderful words, repeating what God said to Abraham, In thy seed shall all the nations and all the families of the earth be blessed. And then Peter says, God having blessed you in turning you away from your iniquities, all that is in Christ and by Christ doing that. Two things that comes out of that promise to Abraham. Paul said to Abraham was the gospel preached. One is that because of Christ we are blessed in being justified. We are forgiven for our sin. And the other is the blessing in Christ, the risen Christ, of sanctification, or the overcoming of sin, being made new creatures in Christ, as we can read in Ephesians chapter 2. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Those that know themselves poor can become rich in Christ. Christ said in his sermon, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We must become poor in spirit. We must know our poverty. And that's what these people had. They were those the same as what God said long before them by Isaiah. To this man will I look, who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. And that's where these people evidently were when Christ said to them, I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. When we know we are poor, we can be rich in Christ. Christ became poor so we can be rich. He went to the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became a curse for us, as Paul describes it in Galatians chapter 3, and refers to it also in Philippians chapter 2, where we read, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, took on him the form of a man, and went to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And that's where the Lord Jesus is, when we read, he's the first and the last, was dead and is alive, and he knows all things. And he could say to this church, I know thy works. Also, he knows the others that are there that are not right. They are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he described them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, we read, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There is sometimes much discussion about educated ministers and converted ministers. We must have the necessity of being converted. Otherwise, we are still blind. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. Education is good, but education alone doesn't change us. Very likely Nicodemus was educated. He was a Pharisee, but Christ said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if we can't see the kingdom of God, we are still blind. Blind to the kingdom itself, and blind to the fact that we're not in it. But here John was talking about those that were not in the kingdom of God. And he said, they say they are Jews and are not, and are the synagogue of Satan. That's not such a strange thing, because all of us have our beginning with Satan. We are all children of Satan until we are delivered. As one said of those in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, God chooses his children out of Satan's family, and so that every one of us have our beginning there. As Christ said, you are your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Those were Jews that claimed they were one with Abraham, and they claimed they were children of God, but were not. They were still of the way of Satan. Here John is referring to them when he said they say they are Jews and are not. And then he tells them in verse 10, fear none of those things, thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He tells them that they're going to be tried. Already he talked about tribulation in the 9th verse, and now he said, fear none of those things, thou shalt suffer. The church that is true will suffer. Paul wrote to Timothy, "They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." He said that is going to come here. But he told them not to fear it. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. They will suffer terribly. He says the devil will cast some of you into prison. We might say that this letter is probably more fitting for the church in Iran and the church in China than it is for our church and our country. We can have freedom. We will not be cast into prison. Though sometimes our government is beginning to speak against the church, and it speaks of the church sometimes as terrorists, but we are not really persecuted. We are free to preach the gospel in our country, and we will not have to worry about suffering for it, not at the present time. That may change, and it may get worse, but this is true for those Christians in Iran, and it's true for the Christians in China for the present time. We might say, this is the message to them, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. I've read of a pastor in Iran that was told that if he would stop preaching, he could be out of prison. But if he was going to preach, he was going to be kept in prison. He would not promise not to stop preaching, and he was kept in prison. And he's probably still there today. There are those that are there in China. Many are in prison. They are suffering, both of those countries. So the letter here is probably more fitting for them than for us. But there's also a warning that that can come to us. We are told, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that may come in our country. We are moving toward it. The government is speaking more of the Christians as extremists. There are even some that say that Christians should not be in government, but it is not a way of persecution at the present time. I can bring this message and it can go over the radio in freedom. That may change, but it's not that way now. We read here, you shall have tribulation 10 days. We don't know what that 10 days mean, but certainly they are in tribulation in China, in Iran, in North Korea, already at the present time. And we need to pray for them. We need to give thanks for our freedom. And we need to pray for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that they will continue to be true wherever they are. They can be true in prison as well as freedom. One song says, a prison would be a palace if Christ is there. And hopefully they will experience that. In the last part of verse 10, they are told, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. No matter what happens, death will come. And there are many that have experienced death, that have been faithful to death, and gave praise in the time of their death, some of them, by burning. And they would sing, and they would make the witness of Christ to those in their audience. And he says, I will give thee a crown of life. And he ends the letter with, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.